Let's just not start off in a negative mood, I tell you.
I know this guy from somewhere.
Hi, this is Jay Marvin.
Morning, Jay. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jay.
Love your show, Jay.
It's really great to listen to you.
And I appreciate what you do on the radio.
Jay Marvin.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
The Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Hi, good morning. I'm Erin Hart. This is the Jay Marvin Show, and I'm filling in. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Wow, we've got so much to talk about, don't we? I haven't seen you since the elections. So I'm very grateful for that. Very, very, very grateful that in this world, this very, very troubled world, in many more ways than one, we have a new president of the United States who seems singularly able to calm down even the most roiling of financial markets. Whether that will translate into calming down the world as we know it as we enter into one of the worst terrorist attacks ever in the history of India, Barack Obama calling it an attack by those who believe in a hateful ideology. That's a direct quote. So that'll probably be our focus this morning. It is a holiday, but we all should be very, very grateful that we're not in, say, Thailand at the airport where an ugly American, I could hear him this morning on the news going, "What do you mean I can't get the Phuket?" That's the kind of reality you do not want to have. The reality you do want to have as an American overseas is when my very tall, very striking nephew was walking around in Mumbai and realized that there were attacks. He went home, went to bed, thank goodness, because he's departing somewhere today to go on vacation. One of the things that many things that I am grateful for this holiday season is that my nephew is okay. It's just, I almost choke up talking about it because yesterday for about 3 hours, it was not good. I had CNN blaring and because you do that, don't you? When you have a relative overseas and they happen to be in an area, even though psychologically you tell yourself there are 16 million people in Mumbai, you still say this is the center of Bollywood. This is the center of the financial district and this is the area where Americans and the Brits and the Europeans go. This is a part of town where they are. Oh my gosh, this is scary. And it is just so frightening. But we finally heard, you know, and the way that our world is, I have relatives down under, as it were, in the southern part of this hemisphere. And what happened was, basically, he went home and went to bed, his mother said, and was going to fly out this morning for his Thanksgiving holiday. He works over there, actually. So it is, I have to tell you, I am very glad that this young man in his early 20s is fine. You know, I mean, the way we are as a family, we never exchange phone numbers. We always just write by internet. And because half of us are in Argentina, half of us are in, you know, Colorado. So, good morning, Colorado family. And half of us are, we're scattered to the four winds. I have two relatives in India, as a matter of fact, one of whom travels through Mumbai often on his way to work in the city he works in. So I am very grateful. I haven't heard from that one yet, but I have a feeling he's back in Louisiana these days. Yeah, I told you, it's like we're the quintessential American family. We're everywhere. You know, I had to laugh when everybody was saying, you know, Barack Obama's really exotic. It's like, you know, haven't they caught up with the United States of America and that many of us have lived overseas now or worked overseas or traveled, been able to, thank goodness, even on modest budgets, thanks to the fact that the airlines have become flying buses in part. But hey, I'll take it if it gets us more opportunity to see the world. But very, very sadly, some hostages are free this morning, but it is still an ongoing situation. They were targeting both Britons and Americans, apparently. I think what scares me most about this attack is I watch the burning Taj Mahal Hotel, thanks to the magic of the internet. It's because this was so low tech. This was low tech. This was a small cadre of people armed to the hilt, but with conventional weapons, hand grenades, automatic weapons. They went in. They went to seven different locations, the last report I saw, and they attacked two luxury hotels, the city's largest train station, a Jewish center, a movie theater, and a hospital. So I did email my nephew, which would have been his last middle of the night. He wrote me back in his morning this morning and let me know he still was going to try to go for his planned trip outside of the country. So, but, you know, I don't know whether he was able to get out. It sounded like the city was pretty slammed down. But maybe he made his flight, and that's good. I heard nothing on CNN this morning about the airports being closed down. So we'll hope for the best that he got there, that he's fine. Sadly, though, the last we heard, their police were still surrounding Nariman House, which is the headquarters of an Orthodox Jewish group, Chabad Lubavitch. Gunmen seized the facility late Wednesday night. They're uncertain of how many hostages are still inside. This is a global terrorism. Experts have claimed that the responsibility for the attacks was taken in emails, talk about how we all communicate these days, to the Indian media outlets. They call themselves Deccan Mujahideen. There is no apparent link to Al-Qaeda. Now, this comes on a weekend where we also know that everyone in New York is on standby alert in the subways, because there have been reports, unconfirmed apparently, that they were going to be attacked. So you see police presence very heavily today, this morning and last night, in the New York City subways, for which I'm grateful because I have a lot of friends there. So having lived there for a few years a while back. So 303-713-7600. Here's what I want. I have several questions to pose to you this morning. Are we, since 9/11 and perhaps even since Oklahoma City and the bombing there back on April 20th, some of you have been listening to me since I worked in Denver during that period. I'm wondering, maybe even some of you earlier than that, but what I would like to know from you today is, do you stop living? I mean, I'm proud of my nephew for going to get on a plane and fly off to wherever he was going, if that's what he did. That's what we should do. I'm glad he went home and went to bed. I mean, you know, if he had been a journalist like me, he might have been outside watching things. Although, you know, it's the better part of valor sometimes just to go home and get out of harm's way, particularly when they're targeting Britons and Americans. My goodness, that's the very much. And if I weren't working for an outlet, that's where I would go, probably. I don't know. I might go and try and cover it. I don't know. Breaking news is breaking news, and it's in my blood. But, you know, yes, I'm enough of a weasel to have asked him for his telephone number to see if, you know, we can get a report from him at least sometime today or tomorrow, even though he's, I believe, in a different country now. And thank God for it. You know, it's just very, very scary. These kinds of attacks are apparently going to be with us. And it is also, as everybody's been saying, the economy is testing Barack Obama. I'm very proud of what he's been doing. I know that there is some worry. I think it's mostly faux and manufactured, the ire of the left. But we'll be checking in with the blogosphere over this holiday weekend. By the way, I'll be filling in for Jay tomorrow as well. So I would love to talk to you about, would you, if you had a relative overseas, would you urge them to come home? Because I would not. And I don't think my brother or sister-in-law would either. You know, adventure is everywhere. And part of living in a global economy is there is a world to see. And if I were young, who knows, I might want to live in Mumbai or Argentina or somewhere. If I were in my 20s, I might even go down there anyway at some point in time and join my brother and sister-in-law to see how it is. Because, you know, my niece is in graduate school in Buenos Aires, and they've always loved living overseas, and you know, we all grew up in part of the time in Puerto Rico. Maybe that's how it started, but my mother was also a travel editor. But, you know, people in the military, we've all been overseas, and I wonder, or many of us have, not maybe all of us, but some of us have, and I'm thinking, would you urge your family to come home right now? Or are we, you know, more sophisticated than, say, the right-wing Republicans give us credit for? Because I had to laugh during this last election every time they went, people are too provincial to vote for a black man. People are too provincial to vote for someone with an exotic background. And then they stick up the moose-hunting weird person that is Sarah Palin and go, but they'll vote for her because she's colorful. No, they didn't. As a matter of fact, they ran away from John McCain in even bigger droves because of her. Thank God Almighty we're free at last. We are free from the shackles of being afraid of smart people, apparently, as U.S. voters. Yay! Isn't it pathetic to watch George Bush, by the way? So as you can tell from my freewheeling rant this morning, we're going to have a variety of topics on our Thanksgiving table. And if it's going to follow my tradition as a talk show host, we are also going to share some recipes this morning. So get ready. I have two, count them, two Colorado products. Well, no, actually one Colorado, one Seattle, Washington product to tell you about. I always try to find different foods. And I bought these thin crackers at a store up here. And they are the bomb, and they are from Colorado. So I'll tell you about that. You know, I always try to find out a homegrown product to hawk over the weekends. I do fill in because it's part of what we do, you know. And I love to eat, certainly, even though I thank God exercising. I seem to have lost 10 pounds, so yay me. 618-303-713-7600, which is good. Just in time for the holidays so I can gain it all back on again. Yeehaw! Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And again, I am very, very grateful. I'd probably have a different tone in my voice if I didn't know that Rye was safe. So 303-713-7600. I love to talk to you, and hopefully the feeling is mutual on the J. Marvin Show, which I know it is. 303-713-7600. Mike Rotolo is at the board and ready to take your phone calls. So join us as we're grateful. What are you grateful for this Thanksgiving season? I'm grateful for a new president and that my relative at least is safe in Mumbai. But it is, we must note that there are many people dead, dozens in the 100. Actually, the last I saw it was more than 86 people, I believe. I'll update you on the casualty list. 303-713-7600 and more than 200 wounded. Worst attack in India's history. Is this something we're going to live with since 9/11? Every holiday, we have a terror alert. 303-713-7600. This is Aaron Hart filling in on the Jay Marvin Show. Be careful of that snow if you happen to be more southerly. And we'll talk to you soon. Coming right up on the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. And now it's time for Progressive Traffic with Mike Hunter. Good morning. This is the Aaron Hart version of the J. Marvin Show on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Like I said, we have a lot to talk about. You know, and nobody wants to think about a terror attack on Thanksgiving. Certainly yesterday when I was prepping for the show, I didn't want to think about it. But, you know, it's one of those things that we have to think about now, unfortunately. And, you know, U.S. officials have roundly condemned the Mumbai attacks. It's a heartbreakingly beautiful city. My nephew has really been enjoying exploring it. He says it's really crowded and really, you know, a very interesting place to be. But it is just, you know, I guess none of us are safe wherever we go. And we have to remember that and be humble and grateful that we're actually safe right now. Now, this also reminds Barack Obama, no doubt, that he is not only inheriting and one of the worst economic crises in the history of our country, but also a wartime presidency. And what it reminds me of is how grateful I am that he got elected president of the United States. I am so glad we are going to see the back of George Bush for many, many reasons. For many reasons. One of the many which is that we will not have to endure someone who is so darn bad at his job anymore. We do not have, I mean, if nothing, he may not be pleasing every single left-wing net root in turn. I hate that word, but the internet world, the blogosphere, as they call it. But Barack Obama is definitely taking charge after being, I think, respectfully quiet, because I think that's part of it. But I think they also realize that the markets aren't calming down. Every time Henry Paulson, the Treasury Secretary currently, or George Bush opens their mouths, everybody goes, we don't want them anymore. Get the hook. So I am really, really grateful that we have a new president of the United States of America. That I'm grateful that for the fourth day in a row, the stocks, even on weak economic data, went up slightly. I am very, very grateful that, you know, we are getting a new cabinet, even though it is full of Clintonistas. Now, here's what I have to say. Doesn't it seem to you that some of the lefty liberal hosts are, and I haven't heard Jay lately, except when he filled in for Tom Hartman. Yay him. But I have to say, I have not I have not understood exactly. I know that talk show hosts, generally speaking, stick up straw men and then, you know, skewer it and make an enemy and do all that in order, part of the job. That's part of, you know, I try to do a compelling talk show with or without that particular tactic. And if I'm generally upset about something, you usually know it's genuine and that I'm upset. But I don't need to manufacture a straw man. And to tell you the truth, I'm pretty pleased with, and maybe it's not the most controversial stance in the world, but I'm pretty pleased with the way Barack Obama has been handling things. I am so grateful to have somebody who actually sounds like he knows what he's doing, has a sense of humor. The only thing that I've been upset with Barack Obama, other than the fact that he almost hired Brennan at the CIA, because I agreed with the liberal bloggers about that one, because John Brennan has had exposure in terms of torture. There are two things. One is that I don't like the idea of a commission to investigate the crimes of the Bush administration. I think what they ought to do is say, I think they ought to investigate it somehow, some way. But I also see the reason for delaying investigation because the country needs to heal and come together right now. H-E-A-L, not H-E-E-L, which we've done far too much of in the last few years. Actually, all eight of them. But, you know, I think one of the things that we have to think about is what future do we have with our country and how much do we need the goodwill of the Republicans in order to accomplish the huge agenda that Barack Obama has on his plate now as the next president of the United States, as number 44, as we would say. So we have to think about that. And we also have to think about how much do you want to relive the past? I mean, I was listening to Rachel Maddow last night just list all the criminals in the Bush administration. And I revel in the idea of listing those creeps. But I sat here and I went, you know, I don't want to hear this huge list. It's depressing. It's boring. I don't want to look past anymore. Now, maybe this is because I'm kind of a forward-looking person. I'm always looking for the next hopeful stance to take, because if you'd get too bogged down in the world, it's not that I'm naive or I'm an idiot, but I just don't believe in wallowing or burrowing in the negative of life and staying there ad infinitum. I'm naturally pessimistic enough as it is, so might as well cheer myself up with positive thoughts like, wow, we'll actually have a cabinet and a president who understand what they're doing and aren't a Machiavellian, you know, in the vice president's office trying to basically tear down the structure of our Constitution. I mean, one of my favorite pictures in the wake of Barack Obama's election, one of my favorite cartoons was him sitting behind the desk in the Oval Office, painstakingly mending with scotch tape the ripped apart Constitution that Dick Cheney and Bush, by complicity or complacency, has been helping him do. But do I believe we need to wallow in it? I'm not sure right away. And here's what I also think. I think that Barack Obama is playing a long ball game. That's what I think. That's why I think Paul Volcker is aboard, who has had past experience with very difficult economies, telling the truth to power, and even enacting upsetting or uncomfortable policies. I think that's why Larry Summers is going to be inside the White House, close to the vest, because he has kind of a volatile personality, and he was controversial at Harvard for those idiot remarks he made about women in mathematics. And I think that's one reason why he's close to the vest. And Tim Geithner at the Treasury, I think, will be a promising and good pick, even though they're all Rubinistas and Clintonistas. Robert Rubin, the Treasury Secretary under Clinton, who didn't meet a deficit that he liked. Here's the problem. It's a different day. And Larry Summers, if you've been reading his columns, and I actually do stuff like that, read his columns, he has been getting progressively more lefty and more open to the idea of spending in order to get our economy back on track. So infrastructure spending, environmental, job creation, all of these things we want. And I think the liberal left will give Barack Obama a huge amount of breaks, allowing him to be able to get what he needs to get accomplished. Now, having said that, I also think Barack Obama is playing a long ball game. And it occurred to me last night, and I sort of hesitate to say it out loud because what if the right wing is listening, which they do to our shows. But here's the thing. If you're listening, plug your ears now. Here's the thing. I really believe that he's playing such a long ball game that he doesn't want to let George W. Bush know that he's planning on investigating the heck out of them, because he doesn't want him to pardon himself on the way out of the White House, or pardon Dick Cheney, or pardon that horrible henchman of Dick Cheney's, David, I can't remember his last name. But, you know, that creepy guy who's been basically saying, you have unlimited power, John Yoo, for example. All these guys who've been saying, torture, okay, Alberto Gonzalez, all these people have been saying, fine, want to suspend the Constitution, want to do that, great, no problem, go ahead. You know, all of those people who have been shredding the Constitution, who have been opening Guantanamo, who allowed our troops to our CIA members to torture, who allowed unlawful rendition, you know, all that nonsense and horrible actions that our government has taken. I think they're going to investigate. I think he'll get to the bottom of it. But I think he also knows we need to heal and we need to get back to work first. And then we can investigate. Because I do think we need to understand where we came from. I do. I believe we need to understand exactly what happened in our administration, in this past administration, because they committed so many crimes and they took so much power onto themselves. However, I also think that Barack Obama, again, is playing a long ball. That's part of the reason why he's getting the Clintonistas in there, because he knows we need historical memory in positions of power right now, because they understand how those departments work, and they can go in and spot the ringers, and they can go in and spot what they need to get done. And, oh, yes, I confess, I even like Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. I can hear you screaming now. 303-713-7600. Give me a call. Let's talk it over. What are you grateful for? Any kind of recipes you have? And, ooh, I got to give you those crackers. I got to mention those crackers. I can't just dangle and make you salivate because they make me salivate. I should have brought them here to eat this morning, tomorrow. They're pepper-flavored. They're rosemary-flavored. And they're really, really thin, so you can eat a lot of them without gaining a lot of weight, which is even better. 303-713-7600. This is the Jay Marvin Show. I'm Erin Hart filling in. And welcome to it, Dave Hunter, who I called Mike accidentally last break. Dave Hunter is standing by with Progressive Traffic, and we'll be right back with you and your phone calls. 303-713-7600. This is the Jay Marvin Show. Hey, it's Erin Hart at 6:36 in the morning on Thanksgiving. Are you stuffing a turkey? Are you making dressing, as my mother would call it? We're going to check in with my family. My sister's probably sliding around in her socks in her galley kitchen, making the turkey feast. I don't know which part of it she's cooking. She usually has a potluck with friends. I was invited out to a town in the country up here where I live in the Pacific Maritimes, but I don't have time to drive an hour and a half and get back home. I would be sitting there going, is anything happening? Is there anything I need to talk about? I mean, this is the bad side of working on the weekend. You go, cool, I get to work. And then you go, oh, it's a holiday. I'd like to play too. But hey, it's fine. I love working, so it's dandy. 303-713-7600. I'd love to talk to you about the holidays, about Thanksgiving, about what you're grateful for. I just heard from my sister-in-law down at the Southern Hemisphere one. I know my colleague from up here just came in and he goes, you have family everywhere. He's from South Carolina, like part of my family is. And he goes, you have family everywhere. I go, I know, it's in our genetic code. It's like, have Irish, we'll travel, you know. It's like, can't sit still, gotta go live somewhere else, gotta learn a new language, gotta be doing something. I don't know what it is. Maybe you have the same kind of gathers no moss kind of thing. I don't know. This is the longest I've ever lived anywhere. I've lived off and on in Colorado for an accumulation of years that probably totals the most years ever, which was sensible of me. But I also have lived in quite a few places. And part of it is the entertainment business. And part of it is I just like to discover new friends and new people and do all kinds of have different experiences. And I really am sort of thinking overseas maybe later. I don't know. It depends. I looked at my 401k the other day and went, ooh, I'm not going anywhere for a while. Not anywhere. Okay, I think we have Ray from Aurora Holding. Welcome, Ray, and thank you for joining us on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Good morning and happy Thanksgiving to you and everyone out there.
Happy Thanksgiving to all of us. Isn't it great to be alive this morning?
Yes, it is. We have a great deal to be thankful for.
I just heard from, you know, I'm so glad my nephew is okay. It really was, you know, you try not to be gloomy, but whenever something happens in a city and I know somebody there, I think the worst, you know, or I hope for not, but I go, okay, calculation, how many people are there, whatever, whatever. So what's on your mind today on Thanksgiving?
Well, I think I'm going to sit home alone and enjoy my turkey dinner in peace and quiet because I teach. So nice just to have peace and quiet.
You know what? I am so glad to hear somebody else say that, because to tell you the truth, I could drive an hour and a half and then I could drive an hour and a half back. And I like these people and my dog loves them because they live right near a river and it's really bucolic and pretty and it's been kind of sunny here lately, although today it's expected to rain. But you know what? I'm with you, Ray. I hate to say this because it's going to sound really weird, but I don't mind having holidays alone. I really don't. I mean, yeah, sometimes I get lonely and I can call my family, and I will later today during the show. And oftentimes I really like to be able to talk to them on the phone. But to tell you the truth, I really like being able to just hang and watch the parade and do whatever I want, you know. I actually cooked my Thanksgiving dinner the other day, and I'm going to reheat it today.
And so did I.
What did you make? So I made rice this year. I did not make potatoes. Are you having potatoes or rice?
Potatoes.
Yeah, see, most people go for potatoes, but I follow along the Southern tradition of my mother and have rice with almonds and parsley and rosemary. Oh, it's really a good recipe.
Sounds very good. Maybe I'll try that next time.
You know what I'll do? I'll post it on AaronHartShow.com in the listener forum. I'll post it. I'll go in and, because I wrote about it in a newsletter I do for the other places I work, and I'll just go ahead and post the my mom's Southern recipe right there, and everybody can grab it if they want it.
Oh, that's wonderful of you for sharing with us.
I'm happy to.
I'm grateful for it, and I'm thankful for it, and I'd like to give thanks to God.
Yeah. Amen, sister.
Thanks.
I'll tell you what, I was talking to him a good deal yesterday, him or her. I don't really care what the anthropomorphic idea of God is. I just talked to a power greater than myself, and I was doing a lot of that yesterday because it's a scary time we live in. Although we're pretty fortunate here in the United States of America, and so are they in India, but it's just really sad. So many people today are mourning their family's passage, you know, that they got the head of security.
Yes, I figure if they started on India, we're probably next.
Right,
peace and quiet.
That thought occurred to me. It did. I think, you know, ever since 9/11, or even maybe even since, for me, the Oklahoma City bombing, even though that was homegrown terror, the idea that, you know, people with black hoods firing automatic weapons and throwing grenades. The reality of this, though, is that they went for undefended soft targets.
That's right.
And that's new, and that's very scary. That is totally scary as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, I guess we can't walk in anywhere without keeping our eyes peeled. And
here's
that's a good plan.
Waldorf Astoria was robbed by a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And it's starting.
Yeah, I know.
If they did it to India, they'll be doing it out to us in a couple of weeks, I figure.
Well, I hope not, but I know what you're saying. Thank you so much, Ray. Have a very happy Thanksgiving, notwithstanding.
Thank you.
It's 303-713-7600. And that's the way it is, isn't it? I think Thanksgiving is also about mixed blessings. Maybe you're sitting throwing. I love talking to Christy Harvey last year. We were talking about the urge to throw pearl creamed onions at your family. I fortunately don't either have creamed onions or, you know, feel like having a food fight with my family. Today, I'm very grateful for my family. I just, you know, like I said, heard from my sister-in-law, who's in another time zone as well, is that everything's okay. And, you know, that is just having your family safe. I mean, I'm in between gigs often, you know, these days, because I'm like everybody else, suffering in a downturned economy where it's difficult to find a full-time job. And you know what? The one thing I have found in intermittent employment is, you know, as long as you've got a roof over your head and some food in your belly, you're okay. And if your family's okay and you're healthy, Man, you are way ahead of the game. Now, that's not suffering from lower expectations. That's being very, very grateful for the things I think that matter most in life, which are the depth of feeling in your family, which is how much you care about and share with your family and friends. You know, I looked at my mantle. I always keep recent missives on my mantle. And if I put an email up there today, I'd have a baby naming for twin boys that were just adopted because I live in a state where gay parents are allowed to adopt. And these friends of mine who happen to be lesbians are very grateful. They just adopted two of the cutest boys you would ever want to meet, ever. They are darling. I was so excited about them. I knit them organic booties, organic cotton booties. And they're these really cool yarn you can buy now that's actually the color of the cotton as it grows. It's amazing. You can get like almost a pale ecru color, and you can get deep kind of brown color from the color of the cotton. Go figure. So I feel so blessed because I have a baby naming to go to. They've already, you know, been circumcised. So they are, I have a baby naming to go to. I have a young baby infant who's recovering, and, you know, he's been going to have a baby naming sooner or later, which is great. He's out of the preemie ward. Yay. I have a thank you note from a friend of mine who always sends thank you notes to her friends on Thanksgiving, which is a lovely thing to do, isn't it? It's just lovely to hear why you're appreciated as a friend on Thanksgiving. So those are some of the many things that I'm grateful for. So I look at my mantelpiece and I realize, you know, that's what's important, is having a life worth living. And if you're still single like me, and you've lived with men for periods of time but never quite found the one, or never quite hooked up in real time with the one, maybe you know the one but you're just not together for whatever reason, it is still important to connect, I think. And that's the message I always try to send out over the holidays for my fellow people who may not have someone in their lives. I'm close to my family, but, you know, I also usually live in different towns than they do, since you remember us, we move around a lot. It is just really important to connect. And that's my message today, is connect, connect, connect. And Barack Obama is going to be saying it a lot, apparently. We're all in this together. 303-713-7600. I'm Erin Hart, filling in on this Thanksgiving Day. What are you grateful for? And also, what are any of your recipes? You eating potatoes? You eating rice? See, in our family, we eat rice because of I eat rice. I think my sister has succumbed to her husband's lust for mashed potatoes, which is fine because he makes some of the best mashed potatoes ever. 303-713-7600. And if I were there, I'd be eating them, let me tell you. AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. Good morning. I'm also grateful for Mike Rotolo, who is running the board this morning, very early in the morning for both of us. It's 6:47. Good morning on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Happy Thanksgiving. Join us. Hi, this is Erin Hart. Good morning. It is, they came wearing black hoods, firing automatic weapons, throwing grenades into several different spots in India, in Mumbai specifically. Very sophisticated financial district. It's also the center of Bollywood. Maybe many of you have heard of that. Those fun films where you have singing and dancing and all kinds of wild plots. I don't know. If you've never rented a Bollywood film, you should. They're pretty amusing. In a good way. I like them, actually. Bill and Parker, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk, although I don't pretend to be an expert on them at all. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Erin. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well.
Yeah, you made a couple comments I didn't understand. You said this is the first attack on soft targets. What about 9/11, London, Madrid, Bali?
Well, I said it's one of the first on undefended soft targets. And the reason I said that is because the targets that they targeted on 9/11 were military and financial targets, okay, which aren't necessarily considered as soft targets. They also usually have more security. Now, a train station, I agree with you, that is not a soft target. But a movie theater, a cafe, and I don't think it's one of the first at all, because in Israel they've been attacking soft targets, the terrorists, for a long time. But it is one of the first soft targets like this attacked in a big way like this, in a very low-tech way, without a truck bomb or something like that, is what I was saying. I probably didn't say it well, but it is one of the first in terms of so many soft targets being attacked at once. Subways like the ones in London are not considered soft targets. Those are considered more strategic targets, if that makes sense.
I would disagree with that. I mean, Beslan, a school where they killed something like 200 innocent little children. Bali, where they attacked a tourist, I think, hotel.
Right. No, you're right. Okay, I stand corrected. It was dumb of me to say that. That's fine. I don't mind being wrong. I was wrong. I shouldn't have said one of the few.
I just didn't understand what you were thinking, because I'm like, they have attacked embassies and guarded institutions on occasions in Yemen and this and that, but they've got a long history, and that will continue, by the way. This isn't going to stop here.
No, and it also raises the ugly next. And you're right, I probably misspoke and should not have couched it in those terms. So I'm grateful that you corrected me. Now, the other thing that I want to do, though, is talk about, do you think that this shows some sort of nexus? It apparently is not Al-Qaeda. They were saying that for a long time yesterday on CNN, but this could be a connection, and I guess the Prime Minister of India made a reference to it today, a nexus to Pakistan and maybe to Afghanistan, which is becoming an ugly triad in South Asia, apparently, in terms of global terrorism and the tactics used.
I don't know. People make a big deal about an Al-Qaeda link. I'm not as impressed whether there is an Al-Qaeda link or not, because what there is, the link that there is, goes back beyond Al-Qaeda to the fundament that Al-Qaeda rests on, which is this worldview that the world is divided into two parts, the world of Islam and the world of war. And Al-Qaeda is based on that view. These people are also based on that view, not through Al-Qaeda, but independent of Al-Qaeda. So they all go back to this basic view that you're either with us, you're against us. You're either a practicing Muslim.
Yeah, and so are Aryan Nation crazies, and so is Timothy McVeigh. I mean, it's like if you're an extremist, it doesn't matter what your religion is. They're Christian terrorists, too. They're certainly, people of all stripes who can be violent. So I don't think, unfortunately, that it's limited. It is not limited to Islam. And I think when we become bigoted against Islam as a whole, we have to very much watch ourselves, because these are crazy people who happen to be Muslims.
Yes.
And who act out of that particular worldview and that religious view. But basically what their desire is they want power. And there are a lot of very, very angry Muslims in India because their economic disparities and they're startling, and they have been very slow in their entire history to embrace the Muslim issues.
I'm not saying anybody has a monopoly on terror or evil or anything like that.
Okay, good.
The problem is that with people like McVeigh and the Aryan Nations, number one, they are highly marginalized. They're insignificant in their numbers. And one of the reasons for that is they cannot get traction on any type of an accepted or deeply rooted ideology or theology. The Muslims, on the other hand, they can easily do that.
The Ku Klux Klan in the heyday of the 20s, even in Denver, were pretty terrifying. But, okay.
They were, but again,
the people who hung people in the South. The people who killed blacks in great numbers in lynchings were pretty scary, I think.
Yes, they were. But they were hard-pressed to justify that on the words of Jesus Christ. Some of them pretended that they were Christians.
And people are hard-pressed to use Allah as an excuse for this kind of behavior either.
That's where we're going to have to start coming.
No, because you know what? The Bible's full of antiquated ideals from 5,000 years ago to smite your fellows. It is full of hateful and loathful kinds of things, as well as, and the Quran can be full of it, too. The reality is that you evolve out of the ancient worldview of things, or you don't. You know what I mean? You either decide to say, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, or you just, and you think of yourself as the Lord, or you don't. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying. Why do you think that of all the religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, Zoroastrianism, even take non-religions, paganism, atheism, Judaism, Christianity, why is it that none of them seem to have this problem?
Oh, excuse me, the Crusades? I'm sorry, wait, hold on, time out. T.O., the Crusades, the occupation of most of Africa by people going, hi, with missionary zeal, I might add, we're better than you, we're smarter than you, we're faster than you, we're going to take over your country, rape its all of its, you know, peoples, its minerals, its everything else that we feel like grabbing. We're going to change years of cultural history. We're going to, matter of fact, happened in India too, I'm thinking. And that was done with a religious zeal, with some brutality, no doubt. To say that we're just quite sophisticated colonizers, thank you very much. No, I don't think so. I don't think any of the Native Americans you would ask today, whether they were entirely grateful for seeing us European Americans come hoarding into their country, bringing smallpox and everything else with us. I don't think they were too grateful for that, do you?
Oh, no, Aaron, I don't think so.
When yeah.
I said have, I didn't say had in ancient history. I said have today in 2008. I don't see anybody running around strapping suicide vests to themselves and killing innocent women and children other than...
Well, you know, you again, people use tactics that are... And maybe in terms of, you know, I just don't buy that they are... you know, worse because I think that there happens to be a dislocation in the world where that kind of craziness is encouraged frequently. And by the way, there is no central, I'm sure you know this, there is no central authority to Islam. There's no big imam who tells everybody else what to do.
Right.
As you know, they're extremely factionalized. And they do not have a clear or even uniform idea of how to interpret the Quran. And as, you know, people who use this ideology, though, I agree with Barack Obama. This is a hateful interpretation of that ideology, no doubt, without a doubt.
Well, you say it's a hateful interpretation, but for instance, in the Hadith where Muhammad said, I have been successful through terror. And then in the Quran where it says Muhammad is an excellent example of conduct. Do you think it's possible?
You know, it also says to, it also treats women well, and it also says to love. You know, I don't pretend to be an expert on the Islamic faith. But I'm sure there's some people who believe in Islam who may be listening who can help us, who will tell you that there are also many parts of the Quran that talk about love and talk about just war and talk about all kinds of things where it has been misinterpreted and you know, distorted. And for one thing, you're supposed to be able to beat me with a stick as thick as a thumb. Nonsense to that, I'd say. You're supposed to be able to hold slaves in the Hebrew Bible. You're supposed to be able to do a lot of things that I don't subscribe to, thank you very much, because we've moved on. But there are some extremists who believe in a worldview where I don't have any rights, who are Christian, and there are people who believe that I don't have any rights who are more conservative Jews. You know, not conservative Jews, but certainly Orthodox ones who don't believe that I have the same kind of rights that, say, Reformed Jews would, and I don't subscribe to them either.
Do you ever ask yourself, why have we moved on and everybody else has moved on? Or
no, no, this is a false argument. This is a false dichotomy. This has to do with poverty. This has to do with hate. No, no, this is not due to religion. I'm sorry. Not going to buy it. Maybe religion, the misinterpretation of it helps it feed, but no, I will not malign Islam because of that. Thank you, though, for your call. Happy Thanksgiving. 6:58, I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on The Jay Marvin Show.